Good morning, and welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the report on public finance and public debt for the fourth quarter of 2006. With us today are Alejandro Werner, Undersecretary of Finance and Public Debt, Miguel Mesmaquias, Head of the Economic Planning Unit, and Gerardo Rodriguez, Head of the Public Debt Unit. I now turn the call over to Mr. Werner.
Thank you. Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on the public finances and public debt report for the fourth quarter of 2006. I will first, give a very brief summary of what the report says, and then we will, Gerardo, Miguel, and I will answer whatever questions you have. As you know, we had a pretty good fourth quarter regarding macroeconomic developments. In October, November, the Global Economic Activity Index, the GDP, the monthly GDP proxy, grew by 5% in real annual terms. And within this, agricultural production increased at an annual rate of almost 15%. Industrial production grew at a 4.6%. And within industrial production, manufacturing and construction increased at annual rates of 4.2% and 6.8%, respectively. And the real value of services grew by 4.5% in this bi-monthly period. With this information, we are expecting that the fourth quarter GDP growth will be at around 4.3%, and that will imply a quarterly seasonally adjusted rate of growth of almost half a percentage point. With these numbers, the annual rate of growth for 2006 would have been 4.8%, and that's the highest we have seen in the last 6 years. On the demand side, also, we had a very dynamic economic indicators during the fourth quarter of 2006. Antad and Walmart sales grew by 13 and 16.5% at an annual rate. In October, that's the last data that we have on fixed capital investment. This number had an almost 14 real rate of growth in annual terms again. Total exports in the fourth quarter of 2006 grew by 9% in dollar terms, and imports increased by 10% in real terms during the same period. The banking system continued expanding credit at a very fast pace. Credit to the private sector experienced a 30% annual rate of growth in November of 2006. Credit for housing, consumption, and business grew by 63%, 40%, and 18% in real terms. At the end of 2006, the number of workers insured by the Mexican Institute of Social Security increased by almost 900,000 jobs, and that's the largest increase we have seen in several years. Turning to public finances, we closed the year with a surplus of 0.23% of GDP. We haven't reached a fiscal surplus in annual terms since 1996, and basically this is the result of the oil windfalls and non-oil windfalls that we have throughout the year, that according to our budget rules, part of it has to be deposited in an oil stabilization fund, part of it was transferred to Pemex, and another part was saved, and that this explains the surplus of 0.23% of GDP that I just mentioned. Excess revenues were at around 3 percentage points of GDP, and this is the highest windfall that we have had in the last few years. The public sector budgetary revenues were 12% higher in real terms than those of 2005, and 16% higher than those considered originally in the income law for 2006. From this increase, almost 40% is related to non-oil tax revenues, 35% to oil income, 16% from non-tax revenues, and 10% from public sector enterprises other than Pemex. Oil revenues grew 14% in real terms due to the increase in international prices. What's, I think, very important to highlight is that non-oil tax revenues grew by 13% in RIN annual terms. And what it's worth highlighting are the increases of 15, 12, and 14% in revenues coming from the VAT, the income tax, and import taxes, showing, reflecting the dynamism of the economy, but also significant increases in tax collection efficiency. The federal government's non-tax revenues increased by 6%, and resources from public sector enterprises other than Pemex increased by 7%. This is associated basically to increases on the electricity company and the National Institute of Social Security. During 2006, total public budgetary expenditures increased by 11% in real terms. Primary expenditures increased by 10% in real terms. Within this budgetary investment, an investment fostered by the public sector, this is budgetary investment plus mainly PDVSA's projects, grew by 12% and 14% in real terms, respectively. The public sector's financing cost during 2006 increased by 15% in real terms. This was due to higher expenditures on lenders and borrowers support program related to the restructuring program of the banking system and interest payments on PDVSA's debt. Turning to public sector debt, I will first report on the evolution of the federal government's obligations. At the end of 2006, the federal government's net debt as a percentage of GDP totaled 20.2%, of which 15.8% corresponds to domestic debt and 4.4% to external debt. Accordingly, domestic debt represented 78% of total net debt, and external debt accounted for the remaining 22%. In terms of debt composition, the participation of fixed-rate peso-denominated bonds in total government securities rose from 48.4% to 49.9% throughout 2006, and the average maturity of government domestic securities increased by almost 1 year, from 3.32 years at the end of 2005 to 4.27 years at the end of 2006. The outstanding amount of federal government net external debt totaled almost $40 billion at the end of 2006, $14 billion lower than the level registered at the end of 2005. The changes in debt composition reflect the operations carried out throughout the year to substitute external liabilities for peso-denominated debt. At the end of 2006, the federal public sector net debt, which includes the net debt of the federal government, that of the public entities under direct budgetary control, and that of development banks, totaled 20.3% of GDP, 1.4 percentage points lower than that observed at the end of 2005. Within this item, domestic debt as a percentage of GDP totaled 15%. 1.1 percentage points higher than at the end of 2005. An external debt as a percentage of GDP totaled 5.3%, 2.5 percentage points lower than at the end of 2005. At the end of 2006, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements, this is our broader measure of public sector debt, which covers the obligations of the public sector as a whole, represented 34.3% of GDP, almost 2 percentage points lower than that at the end of 2005. That basically sums up the main results contained in our fourth quarter fiscal report, and now we open up the floor for whatever questions you might have. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Eduardo Torres with BBVA.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for hosting this conference. I have my question is related to oil production, and if you could give us an outlook for oil production or your scenarios you have for oil in this year and the upcoming ones. Specifically, we might talk about Cantarell and how fast is production declining, and could this decline be even faster in the upcoming years, and what will be the impact on fiscal balance, and if you have any views on if it went even further, this decline, what would how would we be facing it? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what we had, we don't have, we haven't changed, let's say, the outlook that we presented when we sent the budget for 2007 to Congress. Basically, in that budget, if I remember well, we had a decline in production of around around 2%, and we had a decline in our export platform that was higher than that, between 5 and 7%, related to an important increase in refining and a reduction in the amount of oil that we send to be processed to the U.S. But we haven't changed that outlook. The decline in Cantarell during 2006 was larger than expected. And for 2007, we are expecting that part of the decline of Cantarell would be replaced by the increases, especially in production, especially coming from Kuma Locks Up, and I think that's the outlook that Pemex is still, or the outlook that Pemex is giving the highest probability of occurrence. Going into the future, as we projected in our economic guidelines that accompanied the budget at the income law for 2007, the relatively stable production going into the future and the relatively constant prices that we are expecting, that the formula that we have to use to budget given the new fiscal responsibility law is going to give us an oil income that is relatively stable in real peso terms, and this implies a significant decline in oil income as a percentage of GDP, and that's one of the sources that we have highlighted of pressures for the following 6 years that is going to contribute to a significant gap in our fiscal accounts. Together with this, we have important pressures coming from PDVSA and pensions, and basically this is generating important pressures for important changes in our tax codes to generate a more efficient tax system and therefore to increase non-oil revenues that would support public finances in the next few years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley.
Hello. Thank you for hosting the call. My question is regarding hedging for 07 and you know, which we saw some comments in the press about some amounts, numbers, et cetera, but nothing too specific. Could you give a little more color on that, given the recent, you know, the volatility in oil prices of late?
Yeah, basically we have a strategy designed to deal with unanticipated drops in the price of oil. This strategy is composed of two elements. One of them is the resources we have in the Oil Stabilization Fund. The Oil Stabilization Fund at the end of 2006 stood at 34 billion pesos. From these 34 billion pesos, given the rules of the fund, we can use up to half of that during the following year. And on top of that, we have 35 billion pesos from the one of the taxes in the new Pemex fiscal regime that is oriented 100% to the Oil Stabilization Fund. So this sums up I mean, this 35 billion plus the 17, that is the half of the stock that we have in the oil stabilization fund, exceed 50 billion pesos that we have to, to compensate an unexpected drop in oil prices. Also in the oil stabilization fund that was mentioned yesterday in the press, there is a portfolio of instruments that would help to cover for really drastic movements in the price of oil. So we think that with all these elements, we are relatively well covered from a sudden drop in the price of oil throughout 2007. And what we have to keep in mind is that obviously these mechanisms are not, do not last forever, and can only help us to cushion a given drop in oil income. However, analyzing public finances from a medium-term perspective, if we have a fall in oil income, that would have to be compensated either by an increase in non-oil revenues or by a decline in expenditure in the medium run. Thank you.
And remind me of something. In the law last year, there was a temporary clause that was channeling funds earmarked for the oil stabilization fund into infrastructure spending between $22 and $36.5. Is that still in place in 2007, or was it just a 2006 temporary measure?
No, basically, in 2006, the money coming from this tax that was supposed to be destined to the oil stabilization fund between 22 and 36.50, as you mentioned, instead of being destined to the oil stabilization fund, was assigned for infrastructure, as you said. For 2007, the whole collection of this tax between 22 and 42.80 is around 55 billion pesos. From that 55 billion pesos, 20 billion pesos are destined for infrastructure spending and 35 billion pesos are destined to the oil stabilization fund. So what in 2006 was a 100% orientation to infrastructure expenditure became for 2007 around 40%, slightly less than 40% for infrastructure and 60% for savings in the oil stabilization fund. Thanks.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. At this time, we have no further questions. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, just thank you very much. Thank you to all the listeners that called. And we are always available at our relationship with investors office or the public credit unit for any further questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude the conference call. You may now disconnect.